You're listening to Speak Free with Simon O'Connor, right here on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Well, it's that really cool part of the show and one that I particularly enjoy, which is no offense to any of my other guests, but I love community gems. I love hearing first and foremost about the amazing individuals and groups doing incredible work in our community, supporting people in all sorts of time and needs. And today's guest is no different. So I'm very pleased to welcome to the show Caroline Liu. She is heading up the Loss and Grief Centre, which is based primarily, I believe, in Invercargill. So Caroline, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
So this is clearly for a lot of people will be quite a heavy topic or a very sensitive topic. So on Community Gems, we've had everything from farmers giving milk and meat to charities to others helping with babies, but you're working more on a more difficult side of people's lives, which is loss and grief, but no less important. So tell us about the centre and the work that you undertake.
Okay, so the centre started in 2016. It started because we identified as a community that there was a gap in services for just the normal you and me. If you were under hospice, well done, you've got great care. But if you were just you and me and you had a loss, it was really difficult to find quality specialist services. So after a three-year period of community consultation, the centre started small, and we've crafted it up to be what our community needed. And I think that's really important. It reflects what our community wants. So it has a variety of things available. And I was there at the beginning, and I'm still there 8.5 years later, which is a really cool place to be and quite a privilege, really.
So, I mean, when you're talking loss and grief, this must be across, obviously, death when someone has lost a loved one, but do you in your work, does it go broader than that? Mm. Because people will experience grief through, say, relationship breakups or the breakdown of even just family relationships. Are those elements that you look at and support as well?
Absolutely. We call ourselves the Loss and Grief Centre because we've got to acknowledge that nobody goes through life without experiencing a loss. Every time we have a change, there's an element of loss woven into it. Even if it's a change we wanted, we move jobs and we're really happy about that, but then we actually miss some of the perks of the old job and there's a bit of a loss and a bit of a grief that goes with that. So yeah, we'll work with anybody in any of those areas. And I think the world that we're in at the moment, it's the first time that our generation has experienced what we would call collective grief. And that's linked to COVID, where the entire world has experienced an event that has brought lots of losses. Each loss for each individual is very unique, but collectively we're working through the grief of this new reality and the new normality.
I would certainly echo that. I mean, my work and roles before coming here on radio was actually in Parliament of all places. And, you know, one of the privileges of that with my constituents was hearing a lot of their stories. And yeah, using COVID as an example, the grief from literally people who lost loved ones, people very close to them, through to those that in terms, you know, not trying to get too political, but in terms of jobs and mandates, you know, there's loss, grief, anger, and frustration there. So, I mean, in terms then of how you approach this, be it that sort of, if you will, loss right through to losing a loved one, what sort of supports do you provide? What does it look like in terms of services?
So we offer a really unique service. We're the only charitable trust in New Zealand to offer what we call drop-in. Now, we know there are other centres around New Zealand that provide specialist grief support, but what we do is we have the doors in Invercargill open from 10 to 4 daily, Monday to Friday, and on a Monday in Gore, and anybody can walk in at any time without an appointment and seek support. Because we know that grief doesn't follow a really nice timeline, and so that's really key for us, is that you can walk in, we are ready to see you, there's a qualified person on site. It's not formal counselling, but it certainly is that mild to moderate intervention. And I know that when I was going through my grief, that's actually what I needed. I needed someone on the day when it was a hard day to be able to sit me down and tell me I could get through that. So that part of our service is really, really key. We also offer support groups, resources. We have companioning, which is one-on-one work, which is still at that mild to moderate end, but you don't want to be in drop-in for whatever reason. You might be elderly and we need to come to your home. And then we have formal clinical counselling that we offer too for people who've just got a bit more complexity going on and they need someone that can really delve into that. We run workshops for professionals and for our community. We do remembrance events. Wherever we can make a difference, we will be there.
It's only my perspective, so feel very free to push back on this, but my general sense is New Zealand society, probably Western societies in general, are not as, if you will, familiar with death and suffering as they once were, and we're very reluctant to engage it. I mean, can't avoid it, but when it does come up, we're not as well prepared to handle death and suffering as we once were. I mean, is that something you've seen or you're seeing completely the opposite?
Oh, no, absolutely. I think we don't do rituals around death very well. We do the funeral, we do the death notice, but we don't appreciate that grief on the inside needs expressed for months and months and months afterwards. We need to tangibly mourn. And so I think we just do what we think we need to, and then we wonder why 3 months on we are absolutely besotted with grief, and then we internalise and think there's something wrong. But really it's we've lost the rituals. We've lost the understanding that grief needs work and needs expressed. When people learn that, it's life-changing. When they learn that it's okay to light a candle a year and a half after someone's died because you're missing them and that that's okay and normal, it really empowers them. So you're right. We don't particularly do it well, but I think when people learn about it, they learn to do it very, very well, and it's incredibly healing.
Certainly echoes my experience, and I love what you're saying around ritual. I think we have rituals in so many spaces, but you're quite right. When it comes to death, it's not as strong as it once was, nor, and I really like that other part you said, it's longer than simply someone has died, let's go to the funeral, the wake, it's all done. No, it takes often a long, long time and at unexpected moments as well. So I could imagine you've got people who are literally grieving from a couple of days through to years who've said, hey, it's something I didn't expect to return here a year or two later.
Absolutely, because we've got to think, like if you're talking about a loss or a death, I guess it's like a big boulder hitting a lake. Like initially we can see very clearly the damage that's done. But then as the water comes out, we've got all these ripples and all these waves that end up coming to the shore, don't they? And that's the secondary losses that people experience. That's the fact that their daughter is not going to get married, but their daughter's friends are. And you're invited to the wedding. And now your heart is reminded of the future losses that you're not going to experience with your child. It's the looking around at everybody else and seeing that they can go outside for a walk and yet your new diagnosis of a health issue stops you from doing that. So we don't get over grief. We learn how to live with it and we weave it into our life, and it's normal to have to revisit it. In fact, it's really healthy to have to revisit it. Like if someone dies, we don't stop loving them. You know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. That's absolutely true. And the more we're apart from someone and the comfort, the more we miss them, the deeper the love, the deeper the grief.
Well, that's why I love when I did a little bit of research and jumped onto your website, you had one of my most favourite quotes in this space from Her Late Majesty, that grief is the price we pay for love. And it's always struck me, I think personally she was a remarkable woman, but that's the monarchist in me. But I just thought it's a very profound insight. They go hand in hand. Grief is the price we pay for love.
Absolutely. And tears are droplets of love that we
need. They are.
Yep. And, you know, we've got to bring it back to love. Grief exists because of love. The deeper the love, the deeper the grief. And that isn't that actually quite a beautiful thing? If we have deep grief, it meant we were blessed enough to have deep love.
It is that paradox, isn't it? In some ways, we want to celebrate grief. You don't want it. Maybe I'm getting my language all mixed up here, and I apologize if I am. But, you know, we don't want grief. But actually, the fact that it's part of being human, part of the consequence of love, it's something that we should acknowledge. And as you say, it doesn't sort of go away. This is actually one of the things I'm taking away from this conversation. It's not a done and dusted. And it's only a small example, but we've had a bit of grief in my family over this year in terms of parents. But why I quickly shared that is yesterday one of my wife's friends turned up with a bouquet of flowers, and she said, I've been holding off for weeks to give you this because everyone comes in those initial days. And I'm just bringing this now as sort of that second or third wave, that boulder and ripple. And I just thought, gosh, what a wonderful insight into how grief works.
Absolutely. And look, I don't want everybody to have the depth of grief that I've experienced in my life. It's okay if someone's got sympathy and they turn up in the first few weeks and months because they're doing a head response to grief. That's brilliant. But when people like your wife's friend turn up with compassion and empathy, that tells me that they've walked grief. They've got heart understanding of grief. And those people are the people that make people who are grieving feel so comfortable, so validated, and actually so remembered as well, because otherwise the world seems to have just gone on and gotten on.
Well, that's been my experience observing, for various reasons, a lot of people's grief is that sense that it's just got to be quickly contained. It's there, it's managed, we now wrap it in a box and walk away. And it's like, no, it's, you know, it's why a lot of people get upset at Christmas time. It's really real that a mum, a dad, a brother, a sister, particularly if we're talking in the death space of grief, they're no longer there, and that will never go away.
No, and we don't want it to, and we want people to step into it, because that's when you reduce the intensity of the energy. When you're prepared to go into the really awkward place of grief and face it, then it changes it. It doesn't overwhelm you quite the same. It's not like a wave. You see it coming. You know what to do. You remember. There's pain in remembering, but there's also healing in remembering. And so it is, you know, emotional well-being is what we should call this rather than mental health, because mental health, none of us want to have any mental health issues. But when we talk about emotions and our well-being, it normalizes it for people.
It does, which is why I think, you know, I'm a layman here in Auckland talking to your good self down on the mainland, but it's why the work you're doing is just so vitally important, actually incredibly enriching. So as you indicated, you're in Invercargill and Gore. But if people, Caroline, want to get in touch, and you're also a charity, so you always like a bit of support. So if people want to get in touch, particularly locally down that way, or want to be able to understand a bit more about your work or donate, how do they best get in touch with you?
Okay, so we cover all of Southland. We'll go anywhere in Southland.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, well, that's, yeah, that's a lot of driving.
It is a lot of driving. That's why there's nine of us in the team. And so people can jump on our website, www.lossandgriefcentre.com. They can email us at lossandgriefcentre@gmail.com. If they Google us, it will come up. Loss and grief, don't end up with the Grief Centre in Auckland, because that's obviously a different entity who we work with and collaborate with. But yeah, we're always, always looking for contributions, however small, because what this is community helping community. It started from the community with ideas, and we are simply the people helping to keep it up and running. And so whether it's a financial donation, we have pharmacies that give us tip boxes of tissues, other people turn up with cleaning products, anything. If you can contribute and you want to pay it forward and help someone that you don't know in the future access our service, we would really appreciate that.
Oh, that is fantastic. Well, I certainly encourage listeners to do so. And Caroline, look, thank you so much for coming on to the show today, but also just, you know, touching obviously that something's been personal to you, but something that you are paying forward through your work there at the centre. So again, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for inviting us, and thank you to whoever nominated us. It's really encouraging when people do things like that. It just helps you to deal with the day-to-day grind and keep moving forward and focusing on community. So thank you for that.
I won't be able to out the person who did as such, but it's been one of the, if I might, as an aside, one of the lovely elements of running this regular segment in the show is the people from all around New Zealand who send in not only names of people, but often a little bit of commentary about why, and that in itself is just incredibly moving. So again, just thank you for what you're doing. It's so vitally and wonderfully important.
Thank you.
So that was Caroline Liu of the Loss and Grief Centre there in Southland.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.